you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Simpin' After Dark, everybody. This is your girl, Ashley Mendoza.
And you know you got your girl, Victoria D. Wells, over here.
And we got a very special guest today, returning guest.
Stephanie Valenzuela.
Yes. The doctor, the master, the psychologist, the therapist. You know, she's going to do her disclaimer, but to us, she's
Again,
our therapist,
not a
Stephanie.
Licensed therapist. I will be getting my degree in 2 weeks. But
two weeks,
am still
baby.
Educated and
basically,
I know my shit.
It's basically our own little Dr. Phil, you know. He ain't really shit, right? But yep. He's out here like a doctor. So Shut the fuck up, Dr. Phil.
Still giving my advice.
We got Dr. Steph in the house, according to us. To us.
You guys, Simpin' After Dark is a podcast where we like to talk about R&B music and how that correlates to our real life, our real relationship. So it only makes sense that we have a real life doctor who is a guaranteed doctor. You need to take her advice.
Call you out on your shit.
100% take her advice to the death.
Yes.
Obviously we're going to talk about some music. We're going to talk about some lyrics and we are going to talk about some medical definitions. I'm just kidding. Is it medical definitions or psychiatric?
What would that be like a diagnostic definition?
Ooh, diagnostic definition.
Diagnostic criteria.
We're gonna get real with it. We have we've been teasing it for a few weeks on previous episodes and on our last week episode. Basically, we're gonna be talking about narcissists. Mm-hmm. This episode is all about narcissists, which is something very important. It's actually very scary if you read about it or if you know anybody that has dated a narcissist or is a narcissist. It's a very serious, scary thing.
Yeah, we're gonna talk narcissist. We're gonna talk narcissism. We're gonna talk narcissistic. We're gonna talk every
all the narcs.
Narcissistic
bitch.
Personality disorder is its actual diagnosis.
Yeah.
We're so, what is exactly a narcissistic personality disorder? That's a good place to start.
So, in like a summary, unless you want me to like actually read from the DSM.
Whatever.
Give me some good summary.
Yeah, but just a summary. It's basically somebody that lacks empathy. It would be like it's one of its most like prevalent, symptoms, I guess you could say. Mm. But it's also just having like these like grandiose view of yourself. So like you think of yourself very, very highly.
Ooh.
And you also only affiliate yourself with the best people. So again, I was also on, the Wild 7 podcast.
Yeah,
and
shout
talking
out to
about,
Wild 7.
Yeah, and talking about that in film, talking about American Psycho. So you only affiliate yourself with the best. And also, like I said, Trump is like a perfect example of a narcissist where it's like, I have the best doctor. I know the best lawyer. I affiliate. So
I'm the most smartest person in the room.
And then,
I'm the least racist
person. Once they betray you or once they do what you don't want them to do, all of a sudden they're the worst person.
He reminds me of the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland where he's like, off with your head.
No, exactly.
Like anybody that betrays him, he's like,
exactly.
Off to jail you go.
And yeah. So they are very confident, charismatic people, and they need praise for everything. If someone helps them with something, it's like, I need the most credit, and I'm actually not going to give you the credit that you deserve because it was me that did it. You know, that's just kind of their thing. And so once you criticize, like, are you sure? And start to question, it's just like, fuck off, fuck you. I'm not going to answer that, and you're dead to me.
Yeah, that's all ego.
Fragile ego, but I need to portray myself as the best, the most, you know, amazing person.
So that directly goes Crystal into Castle, what we're talking about.
Glass house.
Yes.
What does narcissism, like, how is narcissism different from your ego?
I don't know how to answer that.
Is what it just kind of like having it in check?
Well, because
we all have ego, right?
Narcissism is I mean, it's a personality trait. Or what?
So narcissistic personality disorder. So it's an issue with your personality anytime you are diagnosed with something. And so that's the thing that is just like, a lot of times in my education, even if as I talk about it now, it's like, okay, yeah, I may lack a little empathy, but do I have narcissistic personality disorder? You need to meet the criteria. So it's like, four or more of the following, and then it lists like, so it's like seven a level.
It's not a like level a
where it's to the point where it's spectrum. Affecting. It interferes with your social life, your work life, or something. So just because you may have some of these traits doesn't necessarily mean you can be diagnosed.
So I think kind of how like on the last episode where I was like, I feel like everyone, if they were to like look up like traits of a narcissist, you might have the thought like, am I a narcissist?
I feel like I have every disorder.
I think about that about bipolar disorder all the time. Like, I'm bipolar for sure.
Everything.
She looked at me. She was like, "No, you're not. Stop." You know. I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. So it's like you might like hit certain criteria, but unless you hit all of the requirements of it, then it's not.
Yeah.
So then is what my question would be is when does it become disruptive? So because I think that like your ego, narcissism, there's a certain healthy level of it that you need in order to function in society, right? So what is the tipping point of where it becomes an issue? Like, narcissism can be a good thing, right? It helps you, like, with social.
I believe you guys talked about it in your last podcast or maybe the one before about the fake it till you make it.
Okay.
And so, that's a good thing of being confident, faking it till you make it to get where you want to be.
You need a little bit of narcissism.
Yeah.
Like, would it even be characterized? Well,
It would just be confidence,
narcissistic traits.
Okay, yeah.
But narcissism.
Yeah.
You don't want to be around those people. You're drained by them. All they want to do is hype themselves up and put you down. And they also are they're very charismatic, so they're manipulative and know how to use you for their well-being, and they don't care how it affects you. Mm. So that's where the lack of empathy comes in, is where like it's like, okay, you're going to help me. Yeah, let's do this together. And you're so motivated by, oh, I want to be around this person. They're so great. They're so smart. And they love that you're hyping them up. But then all of a sudden, when something goes wrong with you or they benefit, they're like, you're dead to me. Bye. I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when where I'm kind of going with this is like, it gets tossed around a lot. We hear the terms gaslight, manipulation, narcissistic, egotistical, selfish. We hear these terms a lot. And when is there a line where, like you said, you have a few of these traits, but you don't have all of them. Are there a couple of instances perhaps where some girl's like, I dated a narcissist, and you're like, no, he was just an asshole, not a narcissist.
I guess kind of will tie in perfectly into the song we have today. We have a really good song. We had lots of options for songs, same as last week where we're like, but we had a really good one today, and it's going to be Love on the Brain by Rihanna. Mm-hmm. So we all know her dating history. And if you listen to this song, it is very emotional. And like, if you just really sit there and listen to the lyrics, it's really fucked up. Like, you can tell she's singing about a narcissist, most likely.
You're drained by that person because you're trying to give them so much. And all they want to do is take from you and for you to praise them. And you're realizing you're not getting anything from it.
Yeah.
And so what I was kind of talking to Ashley about is that when I was doing my practicum hours, and not necessarily with me, I didn't have too many couples during the time that I was a therapist. But I talked among my peers, and couples, the worst couple to have is a narcissist and someone with borderline personality disorder. And
what's borderline personality disorder?
Some people get it.
Do I have it? No, I'm just kidding.
No, honestly.
Dude, literally reading that shit, I'm like,
me?
No, seriously. Like, I read it and I'm just like, Because, like, I've had my aunt, like, I, you know, I'm very close with my mom and then her sister, my aunt, who I've lived with. And then I'll talk to them about my dating life and stuff. They're like, you're very attracted to very confident men and men that are very intelligent and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but they're not that confident. I end up finding out they're very insecure. And I'm just like, oh, am I borderline because I'm attracted to narcissists?
Yeah. Yes, girl. But, yeah. Like, I feel like that's
so
me.
Borderlines, it's kind of similar in some ways, but borderlines are actually.
Are you a narcissist?
And I don't
hit up simpinafterdark @gmail.com.
Yeah. And I say borderlines, but I don't mean to call it. It's very, I feel like more derogatory to say borderlines. It's an individual with borderline personality disorder, because that's not all they should be defined as.
Right, absolutely.
But someone with borderline
personality. Thank you for saying that, by the way, Stephanie. Seriously, I mean, I think that more than anything on this podcast, we try to use the correct terms. We try to be respectful of people. And
And same as say narcissist. It's somebody with narcissism.
It doesn't control you. It's not who you are.
As they should be defined as. And so, same with that. And so I'm going to say borderline personality disorder, BPD. I'm just going to use that because it's a lot easier to say. And so someone with BPD, they have kind of like narcissism, but it's more thing is fearing abandonment. And so they kind of go well with narcissism because they idolize
each other, right?
Well, and they also idolize people that are very charismatic. And
so earlier when I brought up how I was reading about how like people that have codependency issues fall for narcissists a lot, would you say then people with BPD are codependent or are they two separate things?
They can be codependent because they need somebody to help make, they kind of feel empty inside and
it fuels them.
Yeah. And so somebody with narcissism, they're so confident, they're charismatic and stuff. So it's just like, I feel so great being around this person that's so amazing and that they love me. But they, there's a thing called switching. And so they first idolize them, but once they don't meet their needs, they kind of like flip, and then all of a sudden it's like, you're a piece of shit. So they view things
this
very
is the person with BPD.
There's no one in crazy between. There's nothing in between. So like, yeah, exactly. Someone with
it's
BPD,
just either
they
or
flip. It's either you're good or you're bad, and that's all they can see. So when someone's narcissist and they're meeting all their needs, and it's just, and
so is that automatically you have BPD if you're like
no.
that?
No. And it's also a BPD. Fear of abandonment is someone with BPD, and then there's also cultural issues. There's so much to get into, but
of course,
but someone,
there's levels to this
totally. Like there's criteria, don't worry. Like you know not everyone has it, but
and that's also one thing I wanted to mention, I think before on our last episode when I was like, does a narcissist know they're a narcissist?
I would, and so I was talking to Ash about this, I would say no,
right?
Because
they wouldn't,
because that lacks
self-awareness, or like you need a self-awareness.
You need self-awareness. And I was telling Ash, I was like, most people who are narcissists don't come in to therapy saying, I'm a narcissist, I need help. No.
Well, isn't there that saying that it's like the people who go to therapy talk to their therapist about
people that
the
should,
people
be, going
that
to
should be going to therapy.
Yeah, and someone who's narcissist, it's more of like, I want to, like, no one wants to hear me talk so much about myself, so I'm going to pay this person to be forced to sit and talk with me about myself.
Damn.
And so they do. And then so narcissism is actually one of the diagnoses that it's pretty much, there's no cure. And so, the only reason why you would see a narcissist, in your practice is like for a different reason, or like, oh, my wife said, you know,
it would
I
be
have
for like couples
in.
Therapy, or it would be for like,
for sure,
for a
therapy.
Reason.
And
or
you
for
see
like
the couples, their borderline wife and narcissist. And I don't mean to like, assume or stereotype, but 50 to 75% of people who have narcissism are men. And then most women who have borderline personality disorder are women.
You heard it from a fucking doctor, okay?
Yeah. A master.
She is a doctor.
Certified therapist.
She's an actual doctor. She does surgery, brain surgeries. She has dissected brains. She knows this.
I do. I have dissected brains. So.
Oh, shit.
I'm just saying.
She's seen, and she told me when she looked at male versus female brains, the male brains were just disgusting.
They were fucking oozing.
Awful.
Let's play a clip of this song.
All right, Leah. If you haven't heard this beautiful piece, then let us introduce it to you. But just a little reminder that we have not heard music from Rihanna in almost, 4 or 5 years?
Rihanna songs ever.
Look at that save. Look at that save.
And try to buy your pretty heart with a price.
y'all did it.
Had to.
Yes. I mean, those lyrics are just like perfectly sum up like being with a narcissist for me. Just like, she's like, you love when I fall apart so you could put me together and throw me against the wall. Like, holy shit.
So, so someone with BPD, they fear abandonment, but also, again, they flip. So it's just like, you're a piece of shit. So that puts the narcissist down, and it's just like, oh my gosh, you're talking all this shit on me. Like, you don't make me feel good. And then the person with BPD, they're like, I could get someone better. I'm over you. But at the same time, they're so fearful of abandonment that they end up meeting the narcissist's needs by going back to them.
Oh, and my,
so
it's this cycle
of like meeting each other's needs at sometimes and then flipping it and then meeting
had a relationship like this. It was a cycle that, I'm not joking, happened every 2 months. It was like a 2 month fucking cycle with this person. And it was like, things would be really fucking good. We would hang out a lot, and then I would something would happen where he was very narcissistic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he had narcissism.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if he had narcissism. He could have just been, again, a dick, an asshole. I don't fucking know. Maybe he was just selfish. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he would like be so wrapped up in what he wanted, even though I would be like, hey, that's not what I want. He'd be like, sucks for you. Fucking leave. And I'd be like, okay, fuck this.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, he'd be like, hey. And then I'd be like, hey.
Yeah.
And it would like, just repeat. Wait, it would literally no every else time.
Is praising me and idolizing
yeah.
me. I need you to come back to me because I know that you view me as this.
It was literally that. He enjoyed the way, and he would literally tell me that. He would literally say, I like hanging out with you because I like the way I feel around you.
Yeah, and it's like, no, and I was like, the way that you make me feel.
Yeah, like, oh, you like me. And it was like, no. It was like, literally, like, in the moment, I'm sure he thought about it of like, oh, I like spending time with you. But I saw it, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, I saw it as a huge red flag because I was like, holy shit. And, mm-hmm. and I knew at
but
that
But something
point,
about it was enticing, though.
I went back
because
every time.
Narcissists are charming.
Very charming.
And like, okay, so what is it? You meet a narcissist and like they come off normal at first or extra charming. Well,
they come off normal and charming, and it's just like, you're so smart, you're so successful, because they talk about how successful they are. I mean, like, again, like, think back to like American Psycho when he first brings people to his house. Do you want to know what I am? I'm a, like, you know, I work on Wall Street, blah, blah. I own this and this and this.
And he was totally like that.
Yeah.
He was totally like, so this like is the car I drive. Yeah.
About yourself. And then it's just, everything's like me.
Just building themselves up. Yeah. Like, I'm God.
And then when someone wants to talk about themselves, it's just like, you're weak. Like, you're spilling your feelings to me. You're weak.
But is it at first they try to make you feel
good? Yeah. Like, you feel good. And it's just like, oh my God. And then, that's where the person with BPD comes in, because they don't feel so secure about themselves.
So they don't even know how to accept that.
So all they see is this confident person that they wish they could be. So it's like, oh my gosh, I'm around this person that is so confident and they want me. And then so
this person. Legit, looking back now more, I know you were asking me about this one ex. I definitely knew it was a narcissist.
and then the person with narcissistic personality disorder, they're like, oh my gosh, this person's idolizing me. They think so highly of me. I want them around.
Do you think it's more likely to happen with like an older man with a younger woman? If it's like a man with like narcissism.
Definitely, because it's just, you know, the
more impressionable.
Woman, and again, like, it doesn't have to be someone with BPD. So yes, I think a younger woman without experience of, you know, so much dating and things like that, a narcissistic man, he's going to be like, I'm successful. I can, you know, I have security.
I have a stable job. I have a home.
And then, like, this younger girl that's just like, oh, my gosh, this guy's going to take care of me.
He's never dated a man like this.
You know, and he's so successful. This is what I need. Yeah. And so, you know, they prey on these people that can be so susceptible to thinking so much of them. But then once that, like, you know, glass shatters, and like, you know, then
it's like the balloon pops.
And people start being like, dude, you're not like that or whatever. Then they're just like, well, fuck you. I don't need to be around you.
That's so scary.
So question for you. I know you said that there's no cure for narcissism. What, I mean, obviously with therapy, but like, are there cases of people like beating narcissism or overcoming narcissism? Like, is there a success rate? Like, it's got to be pretty difficult to break.
Not that I know of, honestly. Even it's funny, one of my...
They're motherfucking hopeless, aren't they?
One of my mentors, said, yeah, like jokingly, I'm narcissistic. But then after he said that, I started kind of like analyzing his behavior.
She was psychoanalyzing him as he's talking.
And then he started talking about like, you know, I was trained under this person and this person, which was it is a big deal. Like, he did have amazing training, and I'm lucky to be like trained under him, because, you know, he has such good training. But I'm just like,
wouldn't a narcissist do that?
You talk about, like, come on, like, you know. But it's just like, all right, da 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 da.
That's like something a narcissist would do, though, right? Like, go out of their way to get training by somebody well known so that they could go and brag about that.
Because
they would want the best. They
going out of your way to get the best, bring have the best people around you to be like, oh yeah, I'm friends with so and so, this person that's just a CEO, or like they own this, or like they know this person,
I don't know if you guys, I've had a couple times with, and again, I hate to, you know, stereotype, but it has been with guys where I tell like something, I'm just like, like this and this and this, I'm so excited about it, or my friends like this and this, I'm so excited for them, and then like, yeah, and then you tell this like long story about how they know this like well off person and this and this, and I'm like expecting it to go to the same like theme of what I was talking about,
and
my
it had nothing
to do with it, except for that they knew someone super wealthy and successful. I was just like, okay,
where is this going?
And I'm just like, oh, you just wanted to kind of like one up me with like who you knew.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
So, okay, we've talked a little bit about narcissism in relationships, as far as romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. Is there also such thing as narcissism in friendship or
parent, regardless. Family members?
Yeah,
which is sad.
Narcissistic mother, father.
Yeah, it's like, you know, using people around you to benefit you. And so...
So that can go in any relationship.
That's where having the diagnosis of actually having narcissistic personality disorder comes to play, is that it's affecting multiple parts of your life. And so, you know, maybe family members aren't like wanting to be around you. Our friendships, you know, you're losing friendships because they're just like, you're just using me and you don't actually care about my well-being. You're never checking in on me, or you're never doing favors that don't benefit you. And so it's just like, what's the point of being your friend? And so you're losing. So that's maybe why a narcissist may be coming into therapy. It's just like, I just don't have anyone to talk to anymore because like my friends don't really want to be my friend anymore. And I feel like talking about myself still.
Like, just like not accepting
you
blame.
You want to know what's fucking crazy? That like bad cycle, he ended up going to therapy.
Like, because he had to pay somebody to listen to him.
I'm dead serious. Oh, he literally ended up going to therapy. And I remember thinking, like, okay, good. Like, good for you. Fuck, therapy. I don't need to be going to therapy. Like, everyone should go to therapy. I don't think you need to be like having troubles in order to go to therapy. It should 100%. Be a regular thing. Mm-hmm. So I was super stoked when I found out he went. But then he would just be like, he would say like the most toxic shit. I feel like I probably brought this up before, but I think he was like,
my therapist said it's your fault.
No, he was all, I'm on, you know, and I want to trigger warning, because if anybody does really have mental illness, we are going to be talking about some things that I don't want people to get triggered, in or as
yeah,
far
no, the shit yeah. is gen- like this really is serious fucked stuff. Up serious shit. He said like that dealing he, with a narcissist yes, is fucked.
No, it was not. And you have to, I always try to come from a very understanding traumatic. Place. And I never try to judge anyone. I never, like, even people that I don't like, I'm never gonna use like your mental illness, your sexuality. I'm never gonna, your religion, your skin. I'm never gonna use that shit to talk shit to you because it's just so distasteful that like I wouldn't go there. Any yeah. decent human being like doesn't deserve that. But he was on suicide watch. He said that he admitted to me that he was on suicide watch. And mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit. Like, I, you know, like, let me know if there's anything I can do. Like, I don't, you know, I've been there. I've definitely had thoughts like that. So I could understand. But if there's anything I can do to help, like, let me know. And he's like, no, I just, you know, I need to stay away from like drugs, alcohol. Like, I just need to be like healthy, be like, you know, working out, exercising, eating right. And I'm like, yes, like these are all things I strive for mm-hmm. on the daily anyway. So like, yes, yeah, like however, yeah. yeah. And then like, oh, literally like 3 days later, he ended up like revealing to me that he popped fucking Molly and that he was doing all these drugs. And I was like, I thought you said you were on suicide watch mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to like trigger you or say some shit, but if you were, like, this seems like a relapse or like this seems like some kind of yeah. issue. And then he went off on me like, don't fucking tell me what to do, don't tell me that. And I was like, whoa,
yeah, you're so you're emotionally
him, you're
manipulative
putting him down. You're yeah putting him down yeah. quote unquote
right like, and he so took it so personally.
The problem is that, and yeah. that's where you have to like, you know, empathize with mm-hmm. people who have narcissistic personality disorder is that they don't just have, they weren't just born that way. It's yeah. they're again, I,
it was curated.
I'm more psychodynamic. So I look at childhood and how like your parents treated you. And that's how it affects like you as an adult. So
nature and nurture work together.
Yes. So narcissistic personality disorder, most likely your parents probably put you down and like challenged you, or you felt like you had to prove a lot to your parents to please them. And so now all of a sudden as adult, you're like, I have to be the best. I need to be around the best people to prove that I am worthy of love or yeah. worthy of attention, things like that. So, you know, that's where it's just like, okay, like, yeah, like they're hard to deal with yeah. and it can be difficult, but you have to understand that they're that way for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And,
is there such thing as like a stable relationship, like friendship between narcissists and other people?
Mm.
Like healthy?
Like, does it ever work?
Healthy.
I don't, honestly, I don't personally know.
I can't
like if
imagine.
Could two narcissists ever be friends?
They'll probably be, yeah. you think they'll hate each other or like super best friends?
I don't think two people with narcissistic personality disorder, like, I don't think you could be around
they would
each
clash,
other
right? Yeah.
It's like, okay, we could get each other, we could be around each other, maybe because it's just like, you're using each other. You know this people. You know this group of people.
It's like
right?
kind of like that scene in like American
Hollywood?
Psycho.
Yeah, no, people.
The scene in American Psycho where they're like, look at my business card. Exactly. Like, no, look at mine.
Exactly.
Oh. No, they all got yeah. the same haircut, like yes. trying to wear the same clothes.
Yes. That's what
comparing
I mean.
Shit.
So that's how they would be
the
friends,
most
right?
bullshit
but you're
things.
You're not going to get deep with each other yeah. because then
that's
it's
horrible.
Weak. If I do that, then I'm weak.
I see.
And again, relating to Trump.
So they like, could have superficial weak. Relationships
superficial,
then.
Superficial. Okay. Yeah. But I mean.
Not real, not honest.
Yeah. So just to kind of clarify, you would have to have 5 or more of the following. And then there's.
Oh, damn.
9 total. So it's grandiose sense of self-importance, preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, ideal love, believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or associate with other special high-status people. So that's where you're like, I'm the, you know, with the best yeah. people. I know this person.
Ooh,
requires
I can think of a few people like
yeah,
that.
Requires excessive admiration, has a sense of entitlement, is interpersonally exploitative, takes advantage of people, lacks empathy, is often envious of others or believes that others are envious of him or her.
I feel like those last ones are like the most like prevalent ones.
Yeah, and then shows arrogant haughty behaviors or attitudes. So it's just
does it say haughty?
Yeah,
like haughty,
like a haughtie, h-o-t-t-i-e.
No.
Oh, h-a-u-g-h-t-y.
Oh, okay.
What does
I was
that
like
mean?
Haughty. Like haughty, like Meg the Stallion, hot girl
star.
Oh shit.
Oh, so I mean, it's just like ultimately, like, you have to have all of those, and I for sure know some people or family members that have this. I wouldn't call them out, obviously, but it's just, it's very sad the way that they cut people off quickly when you point out, like, this was messed up, you shouldn't have done that, and it's just like, fuck you, and it's instantly just like, I'm cutting you off, and then it takes it's like a lot you for can't you even to, you like it's just like you
so it's even impossible to like develop that relationship. No, unless healthily.
You're the empathetic person that's just like you're just you always know giving. I know that they're this way, or they're my family member, so I know that I need to like say like I know that I need to make amends with them. You know?
Most moms. Let's talk about moms. I love moms, and most moms are like mothers of this world are the most giving, nurturing, supporting human beings possible. I mean, they literally birth small creatures. It's fucking insane, you know? But I'm not talking about anybody's mom specific, but I know that there is a lot of pressure coming from moms.
Yeah.
Especially at being a female. And if you grow up in any type of culturally influenced household, you probably have even more pressure from your mom to act a certain way, be a certain way, and do certain things, especially if it's a female on female. And I guess you don't have the fucking answers, but maybe you can help me kind of wrap my brain around it. Why is it that moms are so quick to fucking forgive, like, men, their sons? Like, why is it that, like, me, if I go and do something, my mom is, like, genuinely disappointed in me? And, like, if my brother doesn't, like, come home for Hanukkah, she's like, it's okay, there's always next year. Like, what?
I think that's just more of, like, a social issue. Okay. That in any cultural thing, men are thought of so highly that you're able to forgive men for it. It's just like boys will be boys,
yeah.
And that kind of saying like that.
Trash.
It's just like but
trash.
Women,
if that's your mentality,
women, you can't stop. Like you need to be looked at in this like more innocent, more respectable way. And if you break that, then it's just like, what's wrong with you? And
does that have to do with like borderline personality at all? Like okay. As a mom, like female, male counterpart?
It depends because again, I had a client who my supervisor was like, she has borderline personality disorder, but she also was from a different country. And so again, you can look in the DSM and there's cultural factors. And it's just like, if this person is from a different country and da, 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 then you need to consider this and this and this. So there's always cultural issues and we're looking at American standards of, you know, how people should behave and things like that. So that's what you always need to consider when you're diagnosing someone. That's why I really don't like to diagnose people. And I just more like to help them and see like what they're specifically looking for and how to heal themselves. Yeah. Because if I just label you, then you're going to just follow that label and you can look up, oh, tendencies of this person.
Or if it's like you're maybe one requirement short of a thing, then it's like, well, you don't need to be treated.
Yeah.
But it's like you still are showing all these other things.
Yeah.
So I think that every treatment.
Yeah. Everybody, especially in this world, kind of wants a black and white answer, right? We always want like, okay, well, what's the issue? Here's the solution.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of things, especially with medicine, I am almost baffled sometimes about the shit that they try to hold over doctors' heads. I'm like, that shit depends on like so many things.
Yeah.
You can't just like put an umbrella, you know? So I really feel like we have to, as a society, kind of get used to the fact that like, it's not like a one term fits all or one size
it's
fits
so
all.
So much gray area.
You know? And you have to find, it's like a diet plan. No diet is good for each person. You need to find something that works for you and fits yours, which I like that you work towards, I think, finding what's best for each person because you know you can't be saying that shit,
especially with minority cultures, especially with people that aren't from America. This is American standards from the DSM, and it's just you have to really consider cultural things of what is acceptable. Like there's even actually specific cultural diagnoses from Japanese people. I'm not gonna be able to remember what certain ones are called, or like there's like a Hispanic, like they call it Hispanic panic. Of women that like, you know, they call 911 and they're in this huge panic and stuff like that. But it's specific to very like only to Hispanic women.
Wow.
And so you
is
have
it kind of racist?
No, it's I feel like the term is
cultural,
racist, but it is cultural and it's common. So you can't take it so seriously, basically. Mm-hmm. So it is just being like cautious of like, okay, this is how they tend to react in these situations and you can't take
but
it.
Do you think that kind of could be kind of racist, kind of like in the same way in like the medical industry, how like sometimes black women aren't taken seriously because it's like, you know, do you think it could kind of be with that same thing with like Hispanic panic where like if it's a there's like, it's a fucking Hispanic bitch, like she's just being fucking crazy. Oh, it's no, cultural, like don't take it that seriously. And actually it could be serious.
No, I agree with that 100%. Yeah. Yes. That is a definite possibility.
Well, and that's why we always want to encourage that if you ever do go see any type of doctor, therapist, try to find somebody who is culturally similar to you. Yeah. Not
or at least culturally educated.
Exactly. So
instead
then that
of
way
just taking it just like, well, this is what I know and I'm just gonna diagnose you with this. Definitely.
I had a black friend who he was like, I need a black therapist.
Yeah.
And he was like, I actually thoroughly encourage it because I'm talking to someone who's dealing with things that can understand my perspective.
Yeah,
and I
fuck
was like,
yeah.
That's so important to feel like to feel understood and not to just okay, I comprehend this, but to feel relatable and to 100%. Feel like it's so important. It's so important to feel that. So
yeah, it's
shout
like
out
empathy
to downtown
versus
Los Angeles.
Sympathy.
Exactly.
It's just like,
yeah. And so I think that is really important that if you are Japanese or Hispanic or black, or if you do like, a lot of my like religion is very important to me, and I think that that's something I would probably seek someone who has a my religion is kind of like an ethno religion. It kind of has a little bit of cultural spice added to it as well. Yeah. So I wouldn't want, but that would be a big thing. Like for me, like I would have to see like a Middle Eastern therapist, because if some like fucking white Jew was like, oh, I'd be like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I wouldn't be able to connect with that person, you know?
So skin color and, like, your view. Or just, like, that thing you posted the other thing, Stephanie, on your Instagram. I watched the whole thing.
Oh,
we're like those
I'm
two
so
girls.
Happy.
It was I'm super interested and intrigued and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that was such a good one.
It's so important to me and just, like, interesting and eye-opening about just, like, what, like, even if you're, like Hispanic and like you have white skin and like you're leading a white life and that's
like
that's so privileged. You can't be like like a Mexican but and think like you have the same oppression as like a dark skinned Mexican person as like
or
a white
person.
Girl Mexican
or to
like,
even have the privilege of someone asking you
what are you like the whole
black,
like ambiguous
then you're just black.
Thing like nobody asks black people like what are you or like a dark skinned Mexican person they're just like, oh, you Mexican as fuck.
I have people at the hospital all the time, like where they're just like, you know, there's someone on the phone. Can you speak Spanish? I'm just like, no. But thanks for assuming because of my skin color.
Totally. Stop assuming. Like at the end of the day, you could be this or that. Yeah, it's culturally different than other things, but if your skin color is white versus the darker skin people in like that culture, you're leading a completely different life. You have a completely different understanding
and
of life.
Everybody fucking knows that because you know that shit gets talked about in your family and everybody
who knows.
If you know, you know.
It's because, always like the lighter skin ones that are like the cutest ones more and that shit. Yeah, it doesn't click until you actually learn about it and you go your whole life without learning about it.
Also, you're that for someone else. So like realize that, like if you were let's just say you had a cousin who was lighter and everyone's like, oh my god, blah 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 blah, we made a big deal about it, and then you go out and you're with friends who feel like they're darker, they're having identity
and you're like
crisis.
I got it,
and you're like, yeah, oh my god, those white people, fuck them, they're looking at you like fuck you,
you're
you
fucking white too.
So it's like realize that you are that for somebody else, and so we want to continue to be allies. We don't want to be people who are like causing fucking issues, like this is a point where you would want to not be a narcissist and you would want to self-assess and realize.
Yeah, and it's
listen
so hard
to people.
For people with narcissism to self-assess and to understand like where they relate to
and not center people. Themselves.
Yeah, it's always, it is commonly where they're centering themselves.
Do you know like how narcissism got discovered or like when, like, when did that shit, who, was it like 1406 and some motherfucker was like, okay, what do I want to call this asshole?
Christopher Columbus.
No, you know.
Perfect.
I don't know
Napoleon.
That, but, it's interesting because.
Do you know about like, I mean, I know, I feel like what, psychology kind of made a big like leap in the 1900s, right? Like we kind of really started really assessing people.
I mean, brain? But I would even say like earlier than that. But the thing is that We still, in this psychology field, we still have so much work to do because most of the theorists are white. White, older males that are, you know, even Freud, you know, he said these women had hysteria, and that was like how the first vibrator was made, was that you need to give a woman orgasm in order to stop her hysteria.
Which I heard.
Which isn't that what they say about reading? Men, though? Like, men are such dogs that they're like so enraged with sex that they need to have sex in order to like think straight?
Probably, but in the psychology field, it was just like women are going through.
But with the vibrator thing, like what I heard was like first they used to just like manually like finger or do shit, and then like they got tired of doing it because it takes a while for some women. So that's when they invented the vibrator.
Yeah.
Well, and those motherfuckers fuck themselves.
And then it was also the claim that women are like, it was that there is no way that all of these women have been raped or have been sexually abused. So they must be hysterical. So
So they were using that against. I mean, again, what's fucking
again,
new?
Like going against the victim versus believing the victim. And so it was just like.
So once again, narcissism was created by fucking men.
Older white men specifically. And so many theorists are older white men. So
it is it's what it is.
Really awesome that I, you know like a lot of, you know, people in my cohort, especially women, they're, you know, more seeking all these things and finding other people that, you know, they're like sharing that are like Hispanic, Asian, Black. And it's just so amazing for me.
Hell
to
yeah.
See this
and
growth.
You're part of that, bro.
Yeah. And, you know, even LGBT, that's what I want to specialize in. And so it's just really cool to that there's this spread that's happening right now. But it definitely was mostly older white males, which sucks.
Well, you know what? So then, like, that's why we like to do podcasts like this, is so that we can inform our listeners about these things, because I think it so very often we've grown up, like, a lot of this information, and you went to school for this shit. This information that me and Ashley is strictly based off of our personal experience, which tells me that everyday women are dealing with these types of problems, issues, questions. Whether or not they're right, they're wrong. If they're dealing with somebody with a mental, like, I feel like every day people go through this. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to address, especially when you're a young woman growing up in society where you're being looked at for everything that you do, everything you say, everything you wear.
You're being fucking gaslit.
Yes.
So
it's important to talk about these things so you can decipher the difference.
And I work at a mental hospital. I think the max amount of boys that we've had was like 13, and we are at full capacity at 43. So it's mostly women.
Damn.
And it's mostly LGBT.
Wow.
And so it's just like, why is this population being affected the most? Mm. What as a society are we doing that is affecting this population?
I think maybe it has to do with the fact that majority of narcissists are men. So it's like men are fucking making women go crazy.
They have it's the men that are in power, and that is what determines the way that
we live under a patriarchy at the end of the day.
So. Because I mean, if somebody's in charge and they're in charge of, everybody knows money is power.
And they're
power
in charge of judging
presidentially, politically, financially, everything is like men are in power. Yeah. And if it's like we have all this mental illness and women being affected
having
at a higher
daddy
rate
issues because of the male. Which,
and it's like people are like, oh, this, she has daddy issues, all these daddy issues. But it's like, but you look down on the woman, but it's like, who is causing the daddy issues? The daddy? You mean men?
Maybe her dad was a narcissist.
But like, still, even like when you hear daddy issues, it's like put on the woman.
Of course.
Versus looking at like it's the dad.
Like as if you had any control about who's your father.
Yeah.
You don't have any control.
Why are we blaming women for daddy issues, bro?
There's a great line on Veep, and she says if men had to get abortions, there would be abortion clinics like in vending machines.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
It's fucking true.
Bro. And, there's like that like thing about how like women can only get pregnant so many times a year, you know?
Yes.
Men could walk around
impregnating.
impregnating people twice a day, probably more forever. Yeah. Women can literally only be pregnant once a year, usually twice, depending on, you know,
snip their penises off.
Yeah, but why is this all birth control geared towards women? Yeah. Like, it just makes no sense. And then we got men out here making rules about you can't get abortions, but it's like you're fucking stupid as jizz that slipped into the pussy. So fuck
or
you.
Or yeah. they're only their wives can get abortions. Nobody else. So it's totally fine. But you know, they do say that women are actually morally more fair than men. We're more morally and ethically more fair than men. So I was like, wow, don't you think that the more morally and ethically fair person should be fucking in charge?
Duh.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Crazy. No, I don't know.
We have periods. We're emotional. Just be too emotional. So.
Like, women can't be in charge because they're too emotional. They'd be starting all the wars. Yeah, men, all the wars have been started by men.
Look,
I'm sorry, men.
All you fine ass men out there, I know you're listening. It's okay. I know you kind of like it when we talk shit about you guys, and it's cool. We're talking shit right now. Look,
unless you're a narcissist, if you're feeling really attacked, it's because you're probably a narcissist. So get yourself checked. Go to therapy, you know?
Talk more about yourself, that's all.
Statistically, it's incurable, but you know, go prove us wrong.
I'm just saying, like, look, if you want to come on the podcast, which again, I keep hearing, people keep telling me, I keep asking, hey, you should be on the podcast to men. And they're like, I don't want to. I'm scared and I don't want to be on there. Aww. I'm going to get attacked.
You don't want us to hurt your ego.
We're so respectful of Stephanie. We're not attacking her. Like, we let people talk. We're going to let you say your opinion the other day.
It's not going to get as bad as, like, Vic calls me out. Yeah. She yelled at me for being a ghoster. Like, it happens. Like, we're going to call each other out for being dumb bitches. But
I think I posted a black and white freeway with a song, and she immediately was like, are you fucking, how simpy are you? Are you fuck? We just got done recording the podcast, and you're going to simp some more on Instagram?
I was like, simp.
So I was like, here at the Simpin' After Dark podcast, we do nothing but call people out. But it's good. I think, like, Jaden Smith was, someone talked about an initiative about how he wants to talk, how to teach people how to have constructive arguments and constructive debates.
Yeah.
Because,
so important.
Yeah, you should be able to, like, check someone and it not be an argument.
That's
why
grow.
Yeah. Like, why do you want to argue if you're like, hey, I don't like what you did. Great, now we got to start a whole ass argument. No. Let's just go, how can we fix it?
This
what is
the
a solution?
Perfect time.
Right.
To be constructive.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that being said, I think we need to play another clip.
And try to buy your pretty heart, but the price too high. Baby, you got me like gold. You love when I fall apart.
So I don't even know. Are there keys? Are these the keys? I don't even fucking know. Hit it, Ashley.
Baby, you got me let go.
If you didn't know already, Ashley got the vocals.
Yeah,
so she got the vocals on the podcast.
This is the perfect time. Let's take a break.
You will never. Yeah, we're going to take a little break.
We'll hop into the lyrics when we get back and talk about a lot more interesting things, more personal experiences, all that good stuff. So go refill your drink and do what you got to do. And we'll catch you in a sec.
Don't poop, though, because that's going to take too long.
Yeah, just wait. Welcome back. We just had you guys go refill your shit. So I hope you are buzzing as fuck now, because this is a serious topic, guys. Narcissism. And we picked Brianna's Love on the Brain, and we are about to get into these lyrics.
Yeah, and as Ashley's pulling those up, we just want to give a shout out to Wild 7 Studios out here in downtown Los Angeles. I don't know why I all of a sudden got a little bit of twang to it. But you know, maybe my little drink be hitting me. So what do we got with the lyrics, Ashley?
So we start off, she says, "And you got me like, oh, what you want from me? And I tried to buy your pretty heart, but the price too high. But you got me like, oh, you love when I fall apart so you can put me together and throw me against the wall." Fuck. Yeah. So
how does that relate to narcissism, Stephanie? Like,
Jesus Christ.
It's that, like, I need you, and that person is, like, still there even though they're falling apart, that it's just, like, it builds them up, that it's just, like, you value me so much and that you're still
coming. That it's worth it.
Yeah, it's coming back to me. So, like, even though, you know, maybe Rihanna may devalue this person at one point, they see that they're feeling weak. And that they're hurting because of them. And then so it's just like, oh, it's okay. And then you see them, oh my gosh, like, you're so amazing. And I, like, value you again and all this stuff. And, like, you're a good person.
Cycle.
And so it gives them the, like, ego and everything that they need. And so it's just this cycle that continues again and again where, you know, they're just, you know, thought of as amazing by this person. And it keeps them
here
holding on.
The Genius annotations, like the Genius website, there's a contribution by Anna Oceron. And it talks about, she says, Rihanna speaks about how her relationship in violent terms, a rhetorical device she uses in songs like Woo and Love the Way You Lie. It says her partner wants to take control over her suffering and exert his own dominance over her, whether sexually, physically, or emotionally. Mm-hmm. So then it says she continues to conflate violence with
love.
I kind of lost the thing, but you guys kind of get the whole gist of it.
So how
violence and love throughout Love on the Brain. The love she feels beats her black and blue, and she's fist fighting with fire just to get close to her partner.
So how does narcissism in a relationship, how can it break a person down?
It makes the other person, if they're not hyping that other person up, again, that the person that has narcissism, they start to devalue that other person. Because if they're starting to feel weak, then they're going to make the other person feel even lesser.
Can that lead to physical violence?
Oh, yeah. And I also want to say people that have narcissistic personality disorder, they do have a high rate of alcohol substance use.
Oh.
And also high suicide rate. And same with people with BPD. They have a very high suicide rate. And so, then the issue is that some people with BPD, they like to threaten. Like, I'm going to kill myself if you don't do this. I'm going to do this. And they also threaten their therapists.
Oh my God.
If you don't take my call, like, I'm feeling crappy and I want to talk to my therapist. Okay, well, you know, we have our appointment at this time. Well, if you don't do it, I'm going to just kill myself.
And that's just them abusing boundaries in another relationship.
That's the issue, is that a lot of, with personality disorders, a lot of boundaries are crossed all the time. And so you have to set those firm boundaries, because they're not actually, I mean, sometimes they obviously
they're
will.
They're trying.
But they're trying to push. And so you have to be very firm from the get-go of your boundaries with your partner.
Yeah.
If someone has narcissistic personality disorder or borderline personality disorder, you have to be very firm with your boundaries, because once you cross that, then it becomes an issue, because they keep pushing, how much further can I go? How much further can I go?
So that can that, excuse me. Can that ultimately lead, I don't know where that question went. It left my mind. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Literally disappeared. If anyone has seen, I always reference this. What's the movie, Ashley? I know you know it. With the five senses, joy, and sadness. It's a Pixar movie.
Inside Out.
That train that just disappears. That's literally fucking happened to me right now. Holy shit. I don't know where that went.
It'll come back, though.
It'll come back up somewhere.
That reminds me of Bobby, the Wild Sevens in-house cinematographer.
Yes. He was talking about Bobby Shmurda.
Drugs and
shit.
No, it's not Bobby Shmurda. Hopefully Bobby Shmurda.
It's Bobby Moss.
Bobby Shmurda, bitch.
Okay, yeah, that's who. That's
you
who,
heard
baby.
It right here. Anyway, so Bobby, he was talking about like when you're like on, he was like, his recommendation if you're like on shrooms or acid, he was like, if you have a thought that escapes you, just let it go. Don't try to chase it because that could end up bad if you keep trying to chase like a thought. Like if you're like high as fuck off the drug and you're like,
right?
You think of something and you're like, what was it? And then you end up just in a horrible like thing in your brain where you're like chasing
downward
a thought.
Spiral.
It's like, just let it go. And like what he said was like, as soon as you let it go, it'll come back to you. Soon.
It'll always come back.
My thoughts always just leave. Let it go. So your thought will come back, Victoria.
I'm sure it will. But I know that Rihanna has had, and again, this might be triggering for some people, so I want to make sure that we give some kind of warning because Rihanna obviously has
physical abuse.
Yeah, she has a past with physical violence, and that is something that I think that I would like to talk about is people using. I mean, we all know that in narcissism, people use things to get, like, they manipulate people to get what they want
in a very charming way, where you don't realize that it's happening.
So, but how do you deal with somebody who's using mental illness as a scapegoat for their behavior? How do you combat that? Because let's be honest, when someone brings up mental illness, a lot of the times it's a dead stop, right? It's a don't touch that. It's a, you can't say anything. There's no black and white. There's not a test that's positive or negative. It's more of like a spectrum. So when somebody says, well, I'm mentally ill, I'm suicidal. That's why because I've come across a lot of narcissists who use mental illness as a scapegoat for their behavior. And if you try to push back on them or question them or push them, they automatically attack you for attacking their mental illness. It becomes a personal attack.
It's a cop out.
Right. It's a scapegoat. Absolutely.
And again, you know, I see this happen a lot where it is used but it's to make you feel guilty. Mm. And so you can't help people's actions unless you said, I mean, even if you said, I don't care, kill yourself, you know, it's their choice to kill themselves.
It is. It has nothing to do with you.
I mean, yes, you're horrible for saying that to somebody.
Yeah, I shouldn't do that.
But at the same time, you know, if you're saying, oh, like you're triggering this and it's just a mental illness, or like, oh, I did this because I'm depressed and you just don't understand that, you can't make someone feel guilty or like, oh, I'm going to kill myself if you don't get back with me or if you don't call me back.
Yeah.
That is manipulative in itself. And that is not the way that mental, you know, disorders or, you know, things like that should be used. And so that's where you have to think for yourself and just like, okay, how are they benefiting from me? And is it just me putting in all this effort for them, but they're not actually growing from it? Mm. And so maybe I need to step back and again, assert my boundaries of, okay, ultimately, you're making me feel worse. And even though I'm trying to help you, I'm not actually helping you.
It's not
doing
any good.
I need to take a step back and like, I wish you the best and I don't want you to hurt yourself, but ultimately I can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
And so you just have to be firm again, firm and be direct and step away because like they can't keep threatening you to make you feel guilty and trap you. Just because they need your attention.
So you would say we're working towards the best remedy in dealing with a narcissist is to usually back off.
Yeah.
Is to usually just back away and set boundaries for yourself and stick to them.
Many times, again, it's one of the most like uncurable diagnoses. And so you can't just keep trying to fix them. You can't keep pointing out that, oh, you're a narcissist. Like, they don't think that they're a narcissist.
So it's not going to happen.
Would a narcissist ever say sorry?
No.
Because kind of what I was reading.
They have grandiose ideas about them. And so they're almost perfect. And if they're not perfect, and if you point out their perfection, if you point out
their imperfections. Would they use it in a manipulative way, though? Like, maybe to get someone back?
Yeah.
So they would be okay with saying sorry in order to get a person to maybe come back to do what they want.
Like if someone's like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And they're like, oh, shit, let me just say sorry.
But it's never even going to be. But it's not never genuine. Gonna be the apology it's that you want.
It's all about how to help them.
Yeah.
It's never to mend things or I feel bad for doing this to this person. I'm going to say sorry.
Yeah. It's more like, damn, they're really going to leave me this time. So let me just fucking say sorry to make sure they don't leave. But I'm not actually sorry. And I wasn't going to say sorry until they threatened to leave.
No, and that's how it was with that dude that I was messing with.
I've been
every time we would get, and I'm pretty logical. And especially when I argue, like, it's going to be pretty difficult to argue with me because if you're going to be like, well, because that's what I want to do. I'm going to be like, well, that's disrespectful.
And you're a bitch.
And like, and we don't need to be talking like that. We're grown adults. So like, I found very much so a lot of the times he'd just be like, okay, well, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. And it would be like a dissatisfied. I don't know if you've ever.
Where like they were going really hard for one thing. And then all of a sudden it's they're like never mind. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. And it's like, what? Like you were like, just going so hard for this thing. And all of the motherfucking sudden you're sorry. What? Yeah. That makes no sense.
And you could tell it was just.
It's not satisfying.
To end the argument. To end the fight because he did not like to fight. He did not. And I was like, oh, no, we got to talk about this.
That's not fun.
Like,
no, it's not fun for them.
Yeah. So he would just
not serving them anymore.
And if you're ready, again, if you're ready to leave that person and they realize like, oh, like you don't value me the same anymore. Yeah. You're going to leave me. Then it's like, oh, okay. Well, I need you to like start valuing me again. So then it's again that manipulation to get you to like view them high and mighty again. And then they feel satisfied.
Yeah.
But it's this cycle that is just like, okay, I need to keep, you know, getting my needs met, all my needs met, whether it's friend, you know, coworker, whatever.
Yeah, and it was a cycle. And that's something that I noticed is that it was repetitive. It would be like, okay, we're not going to hang out, whatever, fuck you. Okay, yeah, fuck you. And then he'd be like, hey, what's up? I'd be like, okay, what's up? You still going to act like this? No. Okay. And then he'd start acting like that. And then I'd be like, okay, well, here we are back again. All right,
here
I'm
going to put you on ice. Here we go again.
And then it was just like, and then at one point I was just like, fuck this. This is dumb. You do the same shit every time and I'm fucking over
and
this.
What are you
like,
getting out of it?
Good for you. Yeah, good for you for like realizing though. Yeah, no, because I've been there too where like you continue to realize it and you continue to still keep getting sucked in
over and over
and it's so hard. It feels like a fucking magic spell where it's like literally. You're like outside your body and you're like, why do I keep falling for this? It's clear it's been such a long time of this going over and over and it's not getting better. Like, why am I still falling for this and hoping for it to get better?
I think that is the best way to put it. It feels like an out-of-body experience. It feels like part of you is like, ma'am.
Like, you're not in all your right senses. This.
Yeah.
No one could convince you otherwise because they're so charming that it's just like, well, you just don't understand. Like, you just don't see this side of him or, you know, you just don't see whatever.
Yeah, and I think you keep trying to rationalize it.
Yeah.
Although, I think you probably know.
Yeah. Oh,
still
deep
keep
down.
Rationalizing it to yourself.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Until you're sick, until you believe it, because that's what you want. And that's why, like, the power of your brain, the power of what you want, placebo effect, bro. That shit works. Yeah. Like, you're literally convincing yourself, like, it's fine. This time he'll change and it will be different. And then part of you is like, no, he won't. And you're like, he will.
And just
will.
Like how you guys have talked about before.
And
about
then to add
flags,
gifts and to add
challenge.
Things. Yes.
And it's just like, I need to see those red flags for like what they are. Mm-hmm. And I need to stop trying to like prove myself wrong about those red flags.
Yep.
Like you need, you know, I always joke because there's like that saying, like, never talk shit about your significant other in front of your family, right? Because
it's no going back.
Right. But then you do
your family
also
remembers.
Yeah.
They will always remember that one time that your man never fucking opened the car door for you and they'll just be like, you fucking piece of shit. And you're like, he's opened every car door four times before. Like,
yeah.
But it's like, I do think that what that is it's a reflection, right? It's like a reflection. It's like when you're like, it's things are good. And they're like, is it? You're like, you fucking piece of shit.
I think you could tell when people are finally just kind of like, we're going to let her figure it out.
Right.
Like, aww, we know.
She's cute.
She'll figure it out, though. She's smart. Like, she knows this is fucking unhealthy. This is toxic. But she's going to figure it out. There's nothing you can say to somebody. No, because nothing. The thing I is with you narcissists. Guys to
tell me.
Bro.
I feel like after things what I like, because you know, I'm such like an analyzer. And
that's
like,
the thing.
You guys will be like, yeah, Steph. I know. I'm like, bitch, what are you?
Bitch, that's the thing. It was like you that can't. I want to emphasize right fucking now is you could be the smartest fucking bitch alive.
Yep.
You could be a fucking doctor master.
IQ through the roof.
You could be so smart. The thing with narcissists, anything, any type of fucked up psychological thing, anyone can fall for it.
Yeah.
You could be so smart. Mm-hmm. You're not immune.
No.
Yeah.
You're not. You could be a psychologist and fall for a narcissist.
Yeah, because especially like with me, I'll be like, I'm overanalyzing this and I'm a piece of shit for thinking this of them because I'm probably just like really like putting them down, but it's just in my head.
Because at the end of the day, everything is just.
And then it turns out. It's, trust your intuition.
At the end of the day, everything is just analyzing things. So you're like, am I overanalyzing?
Or am I
like,
underanalyzing?
Yeah. So it's just you question yourself. Yeah.
But and that's why it's so important to talk about. Because the more you talk about, right, the more we like break down the wall of like, am I? And someone's like, dude, you're not. Shut the fuck up. You're like, oh, okay, cool. Right? Like we kind of like break down the stigma. So that's why I think it's so important to say like, if you have these attributes or even if you're dealing, like you could be in a relationship with someone who's narcissistic and you're like, oh my God, okay, this is fucked up. The simping after dark girls are like, that's it. Dump his ass. Fuck him. And I keep going back.
It's not that easy. We
know. We are here right there with you. I have been, my mom has seen me walking out with an overnight bag and she's like,
bitch, weren't you just crying about him last night? Where are you going?
Are you leaving?
Guy?
And I'm like, and I don't even make eye contact, so I'll just be like, I'll be back. And it's just like,
yeah, I guess at the point. I guess at the point where like friends and family are
dude,
just like,
you know.
Still? Okay. Yeah,
all right.
Do you, baby?
You call me tomorrow morning because you're going to be like,
it's like, so, how's it going? And it's just like, it's good. The high pitch, it's good.
I was like laughing because Loki, when I was fucking with this dude, I would be like on and off with him, and like Ashley, Alexa, I feel like everyone would be like, so how are things? And I'd be like, shut the fuck up. And then 2 minutes later, I'd be like, you know, like he like took me somewhere, like we went out on a scene, like, and these bitches would be like, bitch, you stupid
like
bitch.
Victoria
every time.
Had told us some fucked up stories where I'd be like, damn bitch, for real, like you deserve so much better, but we're not gonna make you feel bad, we're gonna let you figure it out. And she did.
Yeah,
so
eventually yeah,
it takes a while, but you have to, these things sometimes you just have to let people do it on their own. Like you can't force someone out of this relationship or force someone to see things. Like it takes hitting rock bottom sometimes. All you have to do is be there for them.
You have to recognize it first, and once your friend says, you know, I don't think that this is going well and I think I'm being treated like shit, then you can finally be like, okay, like, you know, why do you think that? Like, you know, okay, I can see that.
You're such a therapist. Why do you think that? I'd be like, I agree. Fuck him.
I know. I'd be like, fuck him.
Yeah. I've been waiting for you
but
to say this.
Just so that you could get that perspective, because once, like, you know, once they can admit that it's going on, but if they're just like, oh, I'm so hurt, and I don't understand, then it's just like, you can't be like, dump him, because they're going to be like, no, he's so great.
Don't do it. Let me tell you, it's gonna make you end up at the pastor table at your ex-best friend's wedding. Don't do it. Trust me, you're not going to win.
Just be there for them. Like, stop trying to tell them what to do. Like, don't make them feel fucking stupid for falling into the trap over and over. Because then you're just going to be like, going to get kicked to the curb. They're going to pick the narcissist over you,
bro. And they're not going to end up telling you when they're going. They're going to feel like, I have nobody to go to because everybody just wants
they're
me
not
to not
trust
be with
you.
Him anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep it to myself. And then they're going to feel like shit and keep like
isolated. And that's exactly what narcissists want.
So
to
also,
isolate the victim.
Can we also talk about though how emotionally exhausting it is to have a friend who is dealing with a cycle of a narcissist? I'm not saying that, like, at the end of the day, you do have every right to support your friend.
Yeah.
But if
that's exhausting.
If you are being to the point where you are, like, exhausted or emotionally exhausted physically, maybe your friend's calling you every night at 2:00 in the morning, or it's just like your friend never calls you but only to vent about this person, then, I mean, obviously you got to set boundaries. There's, you know, it's not like.
Boundaries are important.
Yeah.
And friendships too.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is a reminder that also to. While you should support your friend, you should also set boundaries with everyone.
Because even if shit's fucking with you, it's also fucking with your friend that you're coming to every night crying about your fucking abusive, narcissistic, egotistical fucking boyfriend, whatever. Like, that's still fucking with your friend. So, like, stop, ask them. You don't know what they're going through.
Stop. Like, what were those text messages saying a while back? I was like, I'm not in a place to respond.
Bitch, I was dying when it was like...
But
oh
it's
God.
Kind of true. Like I'm
it
sorry.
It was so there gross, was, though.
It was. It example.
Was. Yeah. It was like, for all the people that need to set boundaries with their friends, you need to let them know, like, I don't know if in a... I'm I don't not know in if a place. I'm in a place... right now that I could handle your thing, but please leave a message after the time. I'm like something like that, yeah. Where it was like, that's not something you can say to your friend, no, bitch. That's something I mean, you say to like a coworker.
Yeah,
the like, fuck.
But also, ew. I think it is. It's really important to. I mean, I think just set boundaries with everybody and realize that someone once told me that if you really care about the people around you, you will take the best care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was like some of the best advice that I think I've ever gotten. Cause it's true. I think I came to them and I was like, you know, I'm really worried about my brother, my mom. And they were like, if you want the best thing you can do for yourself,
take care of yourself.
Is take care of yourself, because then you're alleviating the pressure of them worrying about you.
Yeah.
Then you're alleviating the pressure of your family. Like, well, I'm worried about you. If I'm worried about you, you're worried about me. What the fuck do we do? We're both worried about each other. But if I'm okay, I'm worried about you, but you know what? I'm going to take care of myself and I'm going to be good and make sure I'm good. And then you make sure you're good. Then we're in a place where we're both happy.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that because you're worried about another narcissist, or maybe your friend is dealing with a narcissist and you just started a new job and you're working 40 hours a week, you don't really have time to sit and vent. And although you care about that person, you do have a life to live and you do have things that you deserve to like contribute to and put in time and effort to. So yeah. It's like, it's really tricky because sometimes it can be difficult. It's not an easy navigation.
No,
it's difficult.
But I think that that's ultimately in any relationship, regardless, family, friend, you know, intimate.
Yeah.
Is knowing your boundaries and being able to feel confident and being firm with your boundaries, because that's how you're going to easily spot people who are, you know, maybe narcissistic or maybe manipulative, whatever, even have just like traits. And you don't want people like that can't be helped, that don't want to help themselves in your life.
Yeah.
And so once you know your boundaries and what you're comfortable with, and you set those boundaries, and if they're not willing to abide by that, then that's somebody that you don't want in your life at the moment. And you need help, and until you're willing to abide by my boundaries, then that's the person that I want in my life.
Yeah.
And so boundaries, regardless, personality disorder or not, you need to know what your boundaries are and set those and feel confident in those. And once you realize that and you start setting those, you're going to see a huge difference in the stress in your life and feel less like anxiety with like your relationships and stuff like that. And you're going to
you feel good when you're not self-betraying.
Yeah, and you're going to feel like you're going to keep the people that are actually worthy of your time because they respect your boundaries and you respect theirs.
Yeah, and I think that that's also important to decipher and define. I think for the longest time I was like, okay, I have boundaries, and then I was like, well, what are they? And then I was like, well, I don't really know. So, and like,
don't punch me in the face,
right?
And we're good.
I had very like what are they called, blurred. Ambiguous, you know, like ambiguous boundaries, like just don't cheat on me,
firm,
but it was
and
like
clear.
It wasn't until I started getting older, and then I was like, well, what do I want? And then I was like, well, I've never asked myself.
Yeah, because like, I feel like when you're younger, you're like more like lenient, and you like don't want
to
be too demanding
to others,
because you're like, well, I don't want to be too demanding, because then I'm chase
Vic,
these
I
people
believe
away.
You talked about this in one of the podcasts before about like, you know, you said I'm the type of friend where it's just like, if you need me, then like, let's hang out, or like, let's hang out once a month, whatever.
Yeah.
But like someone that's just like, let's hang out constantly, like you set those boundaries where it's like, I can't do that. Like, that's not me.
Yeah.
And so
not
you
what I'm going to provide.
Yeah. And saying like this, and then in a friend that respects that, then it's like, okay, we could be
perfect.
Friends.
Because then they won't be disappointed because they know.
But then
exactly.
If they get upset with you that you don't want to hang out like that, and then you start feeling guilty, you set your boundaries and that's fine.
Story of my life.
So I think that kind of like goes into like narcissists, how like narcissists, I feel like they probably wouldn't be able to say from the beginning, these are my boundaries. Like they have no boundaries. They wouldn't be able to say like, hey, like I can't provide this for you because my depth only is this much or this.
Because
whatever.
That takes self-awareness.
Yeah. So like going to the lyrics, which
what does she say?
This
what
is the
Riri
chorus?
Say?
So she starts by saying, or the chorus, she's like, and babe, I'm fist fighting with fire just to get close to you. Can we burn something, babe? And I run for miles just to get a taste. Must be love on the brain that's got me feeling this way.
Wow.
So it's like she's really trying to get close to this person. I don't know if there's any other type of like psychological disorder that could characterize somebody that isn't willing to open up. Probably just like trauma or something.
Yeah.
But like she's really trying. She wants the fire. Like she's fist fighting with fire just to get close to somebody.
Yeah.
And like they're just not having it.
Well, and but could that be because they have that fragile, they actually have like, you know, a fragile ego, fragile view of themselves, even though they don't portray, you know, that. And so it's just like, if you get close to me and you really know me, then you're going to know what I really am. And I'm not going to be
I haven't even confronted that. Show. Yeah. It makes them feel too like open to criticism or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, and then you're going to not see me the same as like I'm, you know, showing that I am. So they avoid that closeness, and that's why they like create all this distance and all this like I'm so
like a facade. Exactly. Yeah. So then she says, and I run for miles just to get a taste. Must be love on the brain that's got me feeling this way. It beats me black and blue, but it fucks me so good, and I can't get enough. Must be love on the brain.
I think those are some of the most fucking controversial lyrics like, ever.
And it reminds me of just like the whole thing with Chris Brown. Yeah. Just like abusive relationship.
That's like such a triggering lyric.
It is. Like she's trying so hard to be close to somebody that's fucking physically abusing her. Like she's just like, let me get close to you, and it's fucking her up trying to get close to them, and she can't.
And how honest do you have to be to say you are physically causing me harm
and I can't get enough?
I still that is like, again, I want to talk about trigger warning. Like that's this idea of like being addicted to abuse, or
and,
like,
yeah, and again, the person that is the abuser, most likely, I mean, every case that I've, you know, known, they've been abused, and so they continue that cycle of abuse because they don't have the insight to realize what they are continuing is because they've been hurt and they don't know how to deal with it except for repeat that cycle. And so most abusers, most rapists, all that stuff, they've been raped before, they've been abused before, and so they all they know is
just to perpetuate.
They feel in control when they repeat that same cycle, and they feel bigger, they feel more powerful when they repeat that same cycle instead of going to therapy and being like, oh my gosh, this was horrible and how to deal with it. No, they just like, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that person in power now, and I'm going to do it to another person.
And that's why when you acknowledge anything, any type of wrongdoing, any type of self-awareness, any type of acknowledgement of what is happening, you are already a step ahead.
Yeah.
Because the first step is denial. The second step is acceptance. Yes. So it's like you're already there. Yeah.
And just to take that step is huge. Yes. And I give people props that you can do that because it's so difficult.
Yeah. So I think that you, like, if you're saying, you know what, fuck, like, my dad acted this way, my older brother acts this way, but I don't want to act this way. Like, that takes fucking balls, that takes guts
to change that cycle that has been going on for generations. Usually it is a generational cycle.
It takes a lot, and it's probably like really rare.
Yeah,
it's probably really rare
to like change it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I like you said, a generational thing. We're not talking like, oh, my grandpa did. We're talking about like grandpa, great-grandfather, 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 great-grandfather for generations and generations used to physically abuse their wives, and that came all the way back to you. It's not like this. That's a lot of weight to fucking carry, bro.
And then it can vary. It'll be like some siblings, it's like some siblings will repeat that cycle. Some siblings are, you know, have that resiliency where it's like, nope, I'm not continuing it. And then it'll be like one out of the four siblings is different. And
is it always like the exception?
No.
Or is it usually like there's always at least one child extremely affected by it? Or is it like...
For sure, I would say, I mean, at least like anecdotally, I don't know like research-wise. Yeah. But
we don't got no numbers in front of us.
Yeah, but with my clients and actually with family members, I would say that there's some that, you know, completely change the cycle. It's like, wow, I'm so fortunate. And then there's some that's just crazy. Like... Dang, like you're just repeating that same cycle, and you know,
and it takes a lot. That's why I'm so like almost overjoyed or like over, like I don't know what the term would be. Like I'm excited for people who can address their issues. That's a big fucking deal. It's a big fucking deal to say, Wow, I'm kind of a dick sometimes. Wow, I'm selfish. Wow, yeah. I found that I'm using
and
this person.
It's normal to be all those things, but once you human recognize nature. It, then you could change it. And so it's like, if I do that sometimes, everyone is a dick sometimes.
And I wonder if it's harder or easier on which side, if it's like you're the narcissist or like the codependent person. Because like going to like Rihanna's lyrics where she's like, must be love on the brain, and it keeps cursing my name, and then she says, no matter what I do, I'm no good without you, and I can't get enough.
See, so
like that mentality of I'm no good without
you. That's personality disorder, right?
What is harder? Like, what is harder, like getting away from that, like low self-esteem, or being like the fucking narcissist abuser?
Well, oh fuck.
Yeah.
It's because like being that low, like being like no matter what I do, I'm no good without you. Like you got to be in some fucking mental state of like devastation. Oh my god,
you have to, you know.
Yeah,
you are nothing. I don't feel like I am a person without being with somebody. Yeah. And so that's where people go into relationships where they move on straight to the next person because I have no identity unless I'm with somebody else and I conform to whatever they're interested in because I just want to please them.
Yep. It's fucked up. Like even verse 2, so she's like, baby, keep loving me, just love me, just love me, all you need to do is love me, got me like how I'm tired of being played like a violin. Yes. What do I gotta do to get in your motherfucking heart?
It's this challenge,
like, right? Like she's like, please,
she's like, just let me know
what do I have
I'll
to do,
do
it. Please love me, please love me. She's literally begging for like this man's love, like, and to get in his heart, like to for him to open up. He's clearly not opening up, and she's just like, please.
Or it's a cycle, or it's like the beginning of a cycle.
I'm sure loving it.
Oh my god, hell yeah.
And this is why I think, it's important to talk about these things, because it's important to say that I think I've been in this situation. Have you been in a situation like this where you're the Rihanna, where you're like, love me, like, not so much? That's all right. Yeah, Ashley, maybe you. We'll just shut the fuck up about that. Go ahead, Ashley. Yes, you.
Yeah, I definitely have.
I don't like being vulnerable.
I mean, it's hard.
I don't
think
in that place. Once I realize that I'm not wanted, it's like, bye.
I don't know what it is about being vulnerable. I like being open, and I have found myself begging for people to love me or for attention or to change or to give me more time. Or to be more open with me, or to stop being so nonchalant.
I absolutely beg people.
I feel like I do find myself doing that a lot, it's unfortunately.
It's not in this sense where I'm like, I meet someone and I'm like, please, oh my God. No, it's this.
I get sucked in.
I'm not somebody who's like, okay, I'm dating someone for 2 weeks. Yeah. Now I'm in love over here.
Exactly. You know, the thing, I think me and you both from jump come off as like very strong and independent and confident, but like, somehow end up in this like thing. It's like, how do we go from here to here? I don't know.
I feel like I get so wrapped up in like being busy, work, this, and then someone's like, hey, you cute, and I'm like, who the fuck are you? Are you cute? You trying to get married? Yes or no, quick. And they're like, look, I'm trying to steal your heart. And I'm like, perfect, let me see what you got. And they're like, I'm a fuck boy. And I'm like, god damn it, we got another one. And so it's just like a repeating cycle of me being
for
like
me,
mad aggressive.
It's less of that for me. It's like I'm more where like I pick who I want to love me.
Okay.
And if they show me an ounce, I'm like, you better give me a gallon. And if they don't, then I'm like hurt. And then
I'm
that's
definitely
where I'm
skeptical.
Craving.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, what do you mean? Like, where is the rest of this love? Like, you gave me a taste. Like, why aren't you fucking worshiping me? Why don't you love me? I need more. Like, I need more now.
Stephanie, do you see what's wrong with us now?
No, like, so am I a narcissist for that?
But, like, that's where I fall in the middle, where I'm just like,
you're literally in the middle.
Or am I border? Like, I have borderline personality disorder. Like, I'm just like, because sometimes I feel like I don't let myself be vulnerable. And so, like, I don't get to that deep emotion where, like, I'm just like, ooh, like, do I have emotions? Like Ashley will check with me all the time. She's like, I don't know if you've loved anyone.
Yeah, no, I've told Stephanie before. I'm like, I could
she's
think
a therapist.
Of, I could think of maybe one man that Stephanie has been with where
like
I'm like,
head over heels.
Where
like,
I think she loved him. Other than that, Stephanie don't love fucking no one. So if you are Stephanie's ex,
I'm so sorry
you
to
ain't
that man.
Shit to her. You was never shit to her.
You know what's
and
really
why the
funny?
Fuck I was wish, you ever in her life?
I wish I felt that. And so
but
like,
I've always, like, I think for the most part, I for the for the most part, every time like I've known you, you've for the most part been with somebody.
Yeah.
And almost every time I've been like, why? She doesn't like him.
Right? I'm just like, why?
And then, but you know, you do that friend thing where she's like, this is my boyfriend. I'm like, okay.
Sure. Sure he is.
And then like, so 4 months later, she's like, that guy was fucking stupid. And I'm like, yeah.
We've been new.
Why don't you
I could literally see it on your face. Because I feel bad.
Do you want me to tell you? Because literally, like, I could tell you any guy you bring around, I'm like, why?
It's your face. It's literally like your. Okay. Like I can literally.
Next time you bring a dude around, I'm gonna be like, you like him? Because he's fucking weird and not cute when you can do so much better, Stephanie. That's just my thought. Every time Stephanie talks to anyone, that's my thought.
Me and Ashley.
Sorry.
Like, if she brings a man around, me and Ashley are just going to be like, oh, she said we could go in. Tag team, go.
Please.
Hey, he's fucking stupid. He's ugly. He whack.
Bunk ass, ugly ass, big old titty having ass hoe.
I've been single for now, I think, 10 months.
Oh, wow.
And I'm completely fine. So until good. Someone,
that good. Please ask me how long I've been single. Don't. Never mind. Just kidding. Anyways,
bitch, and like so that's the thing for myself. Years. That's what I trip on myself because like I go through things where I'm like so desperate for love, but it's like I go single for like 2 years at a time. I literally go no dick for like a year at a time, like easily.
No. Sorry, I can't speak for you. But
I can. Like, I've gone.
There are
like,
some things people need.
A year. I've gone a year without dick, and then I got dick, and then I went another year without dick. And it's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm so like hot or cold where like I hate every man.
So
yeah,
I don't care. Even, like, I could be alone in my room for like 5 years and be fine.
I mean, I think I could do that, but every now and then all I want to do is cut like fall asleep next to another human being. And then I'll be like,
oh, I crave
get the
that.
Fuck out.
I crave that. Don't get me wrong.
Oh.
Like I could be lonely. I crave that. But like, she unless
said, oh, I want that,
but I'm picky.
But I don't have it.
No, no,
I can't. No
I
can, one.
No I could. I could easily.
No one I like.
Yes, nobody alike. I'm picky. I could easily be like, you
course,
come here.
Of course.
Like I'm confident in myself. I could, I'm narcissistic in that way. I could find easily a man to come cuddle right with me.
Anyone can. You're a female. I'm
bitch,
sorry.
Exactly.
It's pretty easy for a female to find
exactly.
anyone to come cuddle.
Exactly. Okay. So that's where I tell you, we're like, I could easily find somebody to come cuddle with me, but like. I'm just disgusted by 99.9% of men. Women, I have never found the courage to pursue. Women are scary.
No.
I love women.
I'm so much more scared of women.
You should not be scared of women.
I think of myself, though, and I'm like, I'm a fucking evil bitch with crazy standards. So are all women this way?
Yeah.
Let me not pursue a woman.
I don't know. Women usually come on very hard and fast. It's usually like a lot more harder and faster than guys. You guys, you would think would be really aggressive. But, like, I feel like in my experience with women, they're always like, you're really pretty. What are you doing tonight? And I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, shit.
My number's 909. call me. Oh, my God. Like, literally, one time I was at Beelman's down the street waiting for traffic to be over. And I clicked with some really pretty girl. And I was like, you're really pretty. She was like, you're really pretty. I feel like you need to kiss me. And then I was like,
okay.
And I was okay with it. And I was like, yes. But then,
ladies and gentlemen, this is a pub, as in, like, they sell burgers and shit. It's not a bar.
Yeah, no. There's no, they sell alcohol too, but it's
but
mostly
it's,
burgers.
But it's like, not a bar. It's like, a it's vegan, a food place.
It's a vegan food place.
It's a vegan food place.
And she, like, and I was like, and so I had to ask myself, I was like, well, like, would I be okay with this if a dude was this? And I was like, straight up, no, I would not. Like, it was kind of like her, I don't know if it's just because.
Too aggressive.
Maybe, I don't know. It was. It was a little, but I was kind of like, oh, okay.
Right. I don't
okay.
know.
But it
I
was,
think it's
it
was, less threatening yeah. coming from a woman.
Yeah.
Because from a man, it's like, is he going to fucking beat me up
murder
and rape me?
Right?
A yeah. woman is just like, oh, she's just confident.
She's just attracted to me.
Okay.
Or like, she's just attractive.
Yeah.
And she, yes. I agree. So
it's
I
different.
That's where that, like, I felt a little bit more comfortable. Like, yeah. okay. Whereas, like, if a man was like, ooh, you're pretty, kiss me, I'd be like, ooh, this is
bitch,
not okay. Like,
I'll sock you in your forehead.
Yeah. Like, that's not okay.
Right now.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, do you find that narcissism is dealt with differently within men and women?
I've never met a female narcissist.
And you heard it here first,
no,
folks.
And you know what?
It's impossible for women to be a narcissist.
No, you know what? And like, I am really actually seeking to find a female narcissist because my supervisor, who was a male, he was like, oh, narcissism and borderline is the same thing, but it's just, you know, women have narcissism and women have borderline personality disorder and males have narcissism.
Oh.
Like, that's kind of sexist though. And I'm just
so
like,
he was trying to say that only one kind of, it only applied to one sex.
But the thing is that like, even in the DSM, more women have borderline personality disorder and more males have narcissistic personality disorder.
But that makes sense with the patriarchy, because it just makes sense that like a man is going to be like, cook for me, clean. I mean, for all the men with their little nipples getting hard, going, hold on, we're talking about the patriarchy. I know, calm down. But you know, like, there is like a male dominance and a female nurturing, which makes sense that like a man would be narcissistic and a female would have personality.
Or would it just be characterized that way? Where
exactly.
It's like,
well, and they are, it's almost like a spectrum. Personality disorders, especially, I mean, if you look at the DSM and you kind of like read through them, they are like a it is like a spectrum. In any kind of category that you look, it's all a spectrum. So I do think
it's not black and white.
It isn't black and white, and
or male or female.
And yeah, like, even, you know, I know somebody that was like, oh, I know this girl, I think she has, you know, narcissistic personality disorder, and I pull out my DSM, I'm like, let's find out, let's try to diagnose.
I love it.
And like, and then I was like, but maybe they have borderline. And then I read it and she's like, oh yeah, maybe it is borderline, but they're so close to each other that it is really hard to tell.
Interesting.
And
interesting.
So, I mean,
it's kind of like yin and yang. They kind of lean on each other. So there's
in
this
some
like
ways, yeah. And
there, there's a little opposite bit of this in each other.
Yeah.
Right. In,
like,
in its opposite.
Like
a yin and yang
with
sign.
With BPD, it could be like you're more displaying insecurity and more neediness. And then with, you know, narcissistic personality disorder, you're way more confident. And you're not
but they thrive on each other at the end of the day.
Exactly. So it is yin and yang.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Damn. So obviously that just makes sense. Those types of relationships are just going to be seeking
toxic.
Each other out and out and
so
out.
Toxic.
Like, ugh.
So the way that would kind of play out, I feel like earlier we were talking about, would be like where it's like, say it's a guy and a girl together and he's a narcissist and she's maybe BPD and he's just like overly just like into himself. He thinks he's the shit and thrives on her praising him, and she just fucking needs him. And he,
she needs someone.
I think narcissists kind of put people down to feel better,
mm-hmm.
too.
Agree,
yeah.
And like the other person ends up kind of just questioning themselves and trying to be like, well, why? Like, why do you feel this way? And trying to fix themselves.
Yeah,
and like,
well,
don't
guilty.
Think of me this way, please. Like, I'll be better.
And they do not want to be abandoned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really fucked up because it's like I'm like the person with BPD and Stephanie, you have narcissism. And I'm like, please, like, what can I do? Please. Okay, it reminds me of American Psycho. We were watching earlier today with Reese Witherspoon when Patrick Bateman's, like, breaking up with her. And she's like, what can I do? Like, please. And he's like, what you could do is stop fucking embarrassing me making a fucking scene right now, because they're, like, in a restaurant.
Damn.
Yeah.
And she's, like, crying.
So
and he's just no empathy. None. No fucking empathy. He's just like, bitch, shut the fuck up. We're done.
You're not
filling my ego anymore. And she's like, please, what can I do? I need you. Fucking need you.
But Patrick Bateman. Uh-huh. Bateman. He was a psychopath or a sociopath?
We actually discussed that. Not we. I was like watching on the side.
The
Wild 7 podcast.
So make sure you guys listen in so you guys can
It was
decipher.
Our episode that dropped, I think,
yeah.
this week
so
also.
Again,
it'll drop.
I would say he would have antisocial personality disorder if what he was doing was actually real. But I would just for sure diagnose him with like narcissistic personality disorder.
So is what I'm trying to say is like, is the difference between narcissism and sociopath, like killing people? Like, is it like violence? Is it enacting violence?
Yeah, so again, sociopath is like a different type of antisocial personality disorder. I can't get into that.
That's all right. It's a little realm. It's another bubble.
Yeah. So, but because
we'd have to do a whole nother podcast on psychopaths.
It's not in the DSM. So
okay, I see.
It's actually more of like diagnosing. It is like with like people in jail and stuff like that. Okay. Most people that have like a sociopath, it's more forensic, I guess.
I see.
But antisocial is like you not really caring about the well-being of others.
Okay.
So it's not only lacking empathy, but it's like really not like giving a shit.
Like if somebody dies.
Yeah. Like, you know, again, like I said in the other podcast, you would be diagnosed with conduct disorder as a kid. And one of the signs of conduct disorder is you harming animals first.
Okay.
And kind of like killing them and not really caring what happens to them. And then you start hurting people.
Okay, yeah. So that like...
But you don't have to kill people. You don't have to hurt people physically to have antisocial personality disorder.
So in narcissism, would they feel sorry if somebody got hurt?
No, they don't. They really lack empathy. And again, maybe some, because again, you only have to meet certain criteria. Lack of empathy is one, but there's like a total of 9 criteria. Okay. So maybe you don't.
So you said psychopath and sociopath aren't in DSM.
Which one?
Psychopath and sociopath.
No, they're not in DSM.
Okay, so perhaps a psychopath and a sociopath could have narcissism or narcissistic traits.
Oh yeah.
But just because you're narcissistic doesn't necessarily mean that you're a psychopath or a sociopath.
Yes,
obviously.
Correct.
But
if you're a sociopath and a psychopath, you're probably narcissistic.
Got it. Okay. that tends to, but that's like, you should also see that as like an underlying issue. Like, do you want to have the same personality traits as a psychopath?
Exactly.
Like, do you want that? Like, or
so you're on the way.
So antisocial, you're impulsive, failure to conform to social norms. So you don't like follow laws.
Okay. Order. Yeah.
Order. You know, irritability or aggressiveness as indicated by repeated physical fights or assault, reckless disregard for safety of self or others.
Okay, yeah. So it's like, all right, so sometimes maybe
guilty, you don't feel guilty.
Okay, so maybe a narcissist, like let's just say something happened, they could feel sorry for someone, but it wouldn't feel sorry for the sense of like, I feel sorry for that person. It could be like, oh,
you don't know what it's like.
That's
in your
a reflection. That's a reflect. Like I could die. And I don't want that to happen, so I'm so sorry. But
or I could get caught. Oh,
so
fuck.
It's like usually like their remorse is like it's internalized with themselves if they are at all remorseful, and it's usually probably not authentic. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? And these are real people walking around the earth,
Bro. It's scary. So there's a lot of
please have sympathy for people.
Yeah, like if your friends are dealing with somebody like narcissistic or abusive, like be there for them, you know, like you don't fucking know, like support. That shit is like it'll suck up your fucking life. You'll think like, oh, I would never fall for this, and little do you know, you might just fucking fall for this. So stop judging people, stop thinking it's so easy. Like just believe women if they're in abusive shit, if they come out and be like, I was abused, believe women. And just I don't know.
No, I love that. That's a great note. Believe your friends, believe women, seek guidance from people who look like you, who have the same beliefs as you, who come from the same areas as you. And if you want to follow us on any social medias, you can follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Simpin' After Dark. You can also email us any questions, concerns, any thoughts you have. If you have any questions for Stephanie, please feel free to reach out through us. You can email us at simpinafterdark@gmail.com. Stephanie, where can the people of Simpin' After Dark reach you if they want to contact you?
You can find me on Instagram at Stephanie_Venezuela, like the country.
There's that one.
I only want you to
You can follow me at Ash_Friday_, and also make sure to follow at Simpin' After Dark's playlist on Spotify. It's Simpin' After Dark.
And if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm Victoria D. Wells. And we want to give a special shout out to the Wild 7 Studios and the Wild 7 podcast that has Stephanie on an episode. And shout out to April Mendoza, who just... They just dropped Newsflash. Yes.
Second episode of Mr. Red's Gruesome Tales, which you could also follow on Instagram. Sick. It is an anthology series.
I'm sick with all the talent I'm surrounded by. I love things.
So if you're a fan of like Black Mirror, Twilight Zone, go follow them. Yes. Stay so tuned with us. Steph will be probably a recurring guest on our shit. So.
She's the only one we go to answers for. Thank you for being on. Thank you for being
Thank
so
you for
informative.
Having me. It's so nice to be back.
It's always so fun and informative and hopefully helpful to any listeners, you know?
So you guys, reach out to us. Let us know what you think. We would love to hear your comments, your concerns, any questions you guys have. And as always, until next time.
Bye.